This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Wow. What's up? I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you. From daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
For the excitement of adding the Crochets and the Buellers and the Alex Bregmans, we've also been watching this bumper crop of young players come up, and Meyer and Anthony and Campbell are knocking on the door. Rafaela coming off that rookie season. It's exciting to have both ends of the spectrum.
They're going to make a big difference this year. When they come up, they're going to perform. I don't want to put too much pressure on them, but Alex thinks that any one of them could become not just a great player, but an all-star.
Tom Werner on the broadcast this weekend. Hey, you know, I don't want to put too much on any of these kids, but they can all be not just great players, all-stars. That's what Alex Cora said. Don't shoot the messenger. So interesting stuff there from Tom Werner.
Let's go Red Sox!
Certainly pushing the Red Sox prospects there. I should know the full order today. All the kids are in the lineup today, right? They're about to
get going
against the Orioles.
Got scratched because
he did.
Was sick.
Yep. Okay, but they were all supposed to be on the trip. Alex Bregman apparently lobbied Alex Cora into making the trip because he wanted to go on a bus trip with these kids, take them on the road, show them the ropes, pick their brains, that whole thing. So he talked his way into the lineup to DH today.
Yeah.
While two out of the three kids are playing in the game that's about to get going in Fort Myers. Meanwhile, that's the backdrop, Keith, of what their ceiling is. Not only can they all be good players, they can all be all-stars, according to Alex Cora via Tom Werner.
Yeah, it's funny. The Bregman stuff, though, is amazing because it's, like, too good to be true. Right? Like, everything. Like when Cora even said, like, is he the perfect player? Yes.
Do you think it's, like, a little...
No, I don't. I buy it.
Like, a little eyewash, like, a little, like, laying it on too thick sort of thing?
To this point, I buy it. Like, I buy all of it. And it's just an amazing juxtaposition where you have Devers, who is kind of the opposite of a leader. And I'm not even saying that as like a huge insult. I don't think 25 guys have leadership abilities and that kind of thing. So Devers isn't that. And then Tristan Casas a week ago, we focused so much about his comments on who's playing third, who's playing second. But he was also asked about the young guys. And he's like, none of them should make the team. We have grown men here, blah, 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 blah. Alex Bregman's asked about the same three guys. He goes on and on and on. He barely knows them. And he's like, these guys are incredible.
They're
like,
be awesome. They're going to be great.
To the point now where he is like lobbying to make the trip around. Like most veteran guys probably don't want to leave the city that they're in. Like,
correct.
I got spring training. Let me take my at-bats here. I don't want to do any traveling. I certainly don't want to be in a lineup with just a bunch of young kids. That's not the game for me. But Bregman is trying to get into the game with those guys. So, I mean, I thought the Bregman signing was going to be great because he's a right-handed bat, because he's a good defensive third baseman, because he's a leader on the major league roster, he's a winner. Like, all that stuff is pretty obvious, but I didn't really consider the development of Meyer, Campbell, and Anthony as anything that Bregman would have a lot to do with.
Me
certainly
either.
At this stage, and apparently he does that as well.
Okay, so again, Anthony was scratched, I guess because he's sick, is what Nick was saying.
Yeah.
Bregman DHing today. Meyer at third.
Add another third baseman.
Campbell in left. And so this does go back to, where is Christian Campbell going to play? Is he a second baseman? Is he an outfielder? He's played at various spots in his minor league career. It's been a discussion in the last week or so where Anthony is going to fit defensively. And so maybe you have questions with all three of them. Is Meyer a shortstop? Is he second base flexibility? Campbell, is he going to have flexibility between second base and left field? Where exactly are you going to line up with Roman Anthony? Not that any of them are probably making the opening day roster. I would advocate for it, but I doubt the Red Sox will do it.
Yeah.
But it does go back into the whole discussion about Devers and Bregman and where does everybody fit and how does it all piece together. If Campbell's getting reps in left field, from a versatility standpoint, I guess that's a good thing.
Mm-hmm.
But it also speaks to, he's not going to be your opening day second baseman.
No, he's not. I'm kind of resigned to the fact that none of those guys will be on the opening day roster. In most years, I think I'd be really pissed about it. But this year, because you went and added a guy like Bregman and we're trying to figure out where he's going to play, I think it'll all work itself out. And I don't think it's the end of the world if you wait a little bit, because you don't want Campbell up not playing every day, or you wouldn't want Roman Anthony up playing like half the games. Like, to me, that doesn't make any sense.
No, you want them playing, right? Whether it's in Worcester or the majors, you want them playing.
So if they play a ton at Worcester and they're just ripping the cover off the ball, and then I think there'll be an opportunity that'll open up. And if you can play second base and left field, those seem like, to me, the two easiest ways to break into the lineup. I know Duran plays left, but he can also play center. So mm-hmm. Duran's playing center. He's really, to me, your only obvious everyday outfielder. I think Willie Abreu had a good year, and you can make a case that he's out there.
But he doesn't need to be in the lineup every single day.
No.
Rafaela doesn't need to be in the lineup, probably, period, and definitely not in the outfield every day with his versatility. So
like, if, like, my dream scenario would be 2 months into the year, Campbell becomes your everyday second baseman, Anthony becomes your everyday left fielder. Duran's playing center. You now have Willie Abreu, you have in right field, and then Rafaela is sort of your first guy off the bench at like every position, because he can play center and move Duran to left. He can play second. Like, he can play short, you know, when the inevitable Trevor Story injury happens. Yeah. He can play short.
We have the countdown clock to the combine. That also could double as the countdown to the first Story injury.
Yeah.
Not Bregman injury, Story injury.
No doubt.
So Bregman, there is an element of, like, it seems a little too good to be true.
Yeah, I know.
And maybe it's eyewash. And is he a perfect player? He might be. And he's taking bus trips across the state of Florida to go DH with the kids today. You know, how much of that is genuine and how much of that is, as the text line says, 617-779-7937, the unselfishness is putting pressure on Devers to give up third base. And maybe that's not even calculated on Bregman's end.
Yeah.
But just the way he's coming across and carrying himself, and it'll do everything for the betterment of the team.
Polar opposite.
Versus Devers, who's like, I won't move. And Tristan Cassis, who's like, oh yeah, by the way, those kids should stay in the minors. And and Devers shouldn't move. That's certainly a juxtaposition, as you said. 617-779-7937. Then we got Garrett Crochet with Rob Bradford, who we'll talk to on Thursday.
Croquet.
Garrett Croquet.
Yeah.
On the Baseball Isn't Boring podcast, setting the record straight about his extension request. For me, I'm not sure there's a satisfactory answer.
Okay, let's hear
it. But let's give it a listen. And I think in a lot of ways, he's even more important than Bregman. I love the Bregman signing, but I would say in a lot of ways, if he's going to be what you think he is at the front of your rotation, that's even more important than Bregman. He said, I'm actually glad you asked, Rob. He didn't say Rob. But
good question, Brad Foe.
Because I know when it came out last year, a lot of people were looking at it as I was greedy. And this is the stipulations about trading for Croquet,
mm-hmm.
at the deadline last year. He only wanted to start. He wanted an extension in place. He wouldn't pitch in the postseason without an extension in place, blah, blah, blah. He says, I didn't by any means feel like I was demanding it because I wanted money or security by itself. It was more so the fact that I was establishing myself as a starter and kind of getting away from the idea that teams viewed me as a potential high-end reliever. I was having a good year. I was staying healthy for the first time in my career. 2020, I was hurt. 21, blah, 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 blah,
mm-hmm,
blah.
Mm-hmm.
He says, now I'm coming back from Tommy John. There were complications, and now I'm starting to set a routine, and I'm feeling good every fifth day, and I'm able to go out and perform. Why should I jeopardize that for a team I don't really owe anything to? That was the weird part. A lot of people were sending me hate stuff on Instagram, and I was like, I don't know what team I'm not on.
Hate stuff on Instagram.
For me, that was the way to protect myself. So I don't know. Like, you want to talk about Devers and give him criticism for putting himself before the team, Cassis? I mean, is there an element of that in some of those, that explanation from Garrett Crochet?
Well, it's different than some of those other guys, I think, just because Crochet was, finally healthy for a season, and then now all of a sudden he might get thrown into like a playoff race, which you would think as like a competitor you'd want to be in said playoff race, but you also know what it's taken to get back to where he was, because he's really had like a bunch of lost seasons early on in his career. The one line that's strange to me, and I guess to him it makes sense, but he's like, you know, a team that I don't really owe anything to. Well, if they're trading a ton to get you, right, like they obviously want you, and then you therefore, I don't know, that's how pro sports works, right? Like they pay you a good hunk of money, you perform, that's the give and take on that. But I do feel a little bit better about Crochet overall now than I did last year. I think last year at the trade deadline, when all this stuff first came out, you're like, oh my God, I didn't even think he would accept this trade without kicking and screaming. And he did. Right, I thought there was going to be like, well, I need a new contract. That that was more to do with in-season usage than it was after the year.
No, that's fair. And I don't feel like they're anywhere near an extension for Crochet, but a lot of times these do get announced after opening day. So maybe they're working on it more behind the scenes than I give it credit for. He's two starts in, 3 1/3, 4 hits. He has struck out 7. He's also walked 4, so a lot of base runners. Mm-hmm. But the stuff has been filthy from Crochet. I'll tell you, it was a good debut yesterday, or the day prior, I'm trying to remember when it was, over the weekend for Walker Buehler as well, who looked good in his 2 innings. Those were relatively clean.
He's flying under the radar.
1 hit and 4 Ks. So look, I think he is too. You know, he's the pitching Alex Bregman. He's a guy who's come in.
Mm-hmm.
He's been a winner. He pitched well in the World Series and postseason a year ago. I can't remember if it was Cora or Breslow now. It might have been Breslow, I heard last week with Greg's show. But they said he's kind of got like an attitude about him, which I want to see that play out before I really get fully on board with it. But like, okay, he's got an attitude and an edge to him, and like bulldog sort of attitude at the top of the rotation. Like that I could get on board with.
No, that's great. And I think all those other guys in the rotation are going to benefit from that, because you're not relying on Hauk, Crawford, and Bayo to be like what they were last year. And right, Bayo more second half. But
pitch well and be a leader.
Yeah, right. And also, like, if Tanner Houck and Cutter Crawford take a step back this year from where they were last year, I don't think it'd be the most shocking thing in the world. Nope. And if you were relying on those guys, then you're kind of in trouble. And I think Breslow, and maybe even Cora to an extent, kind of thought the same thing. Like, hey, that was good, like the seasons those guys had, but like we need more reliable guys.
Yeah, let's not rely on them repeating that.
No. And then this way there's just overall less pressure on those guys. You know, you throw in a guy like Giolito, too, who we didn't see at all last year, and maybe he'll factor into it. And, you know, those young guys really now kind of slot in as, like, your number 4 and 5 rather than, like, number 1 and 2 from a year ago. So that's a huge difference.
No, it is. I just think when it comes to the top of the rotation, I feel better about it. You know, you got to see if Crochet can do it day in and day out for a full year on a real team where people are paying attention, not one of the worst teams in the history of baseball, where no one paid attention to them a year ago in Chicago. So there's pressure in the market. There's pressure on what should be a more competitive team. And I'm curious how he handles all of it. I do think that comment and his conversations and comments around the contract in general are worth watching. I don't think it rises to the level of Devers, no, I play third, I'm not going to move. I don't think these comments are those. But I also think they're in the same vein. It's putting yourself before the team. It's putting your own individual situation before the team. And you could say baseball is a business. Professional sports are a business. It's a smart business thing to do. You can say all that. But we've also done a lot of complimenting of Alex Bregman and all the other things he's doing. This is closer to Devers than that. Those comments from Crochet to Rob are closer to that.
Yeah, no, they are. I mean, he's got to kind of get that contract, obviously. You know, like with baseball players, it gets to that certain point and you need to be able to capitalize it. And so I would assume in the back of his mind there's another injury around the corner, right? Like how do you prepare yourself for that, to actually have a full healthy season where there are no restrictions?
So you would think he'd want to get paid now. And so
yeah, but like the guys that sign early, I always think have a, not, I mean like real early, not 1 year to go like Mookie Betts or Mike Trout, but like the guys that sign real early,
Bayo, Rafaela, guys like that, you're saying,
kind of maybe know that they're not that great. Honestly, I remember when the Houston Astros, you might remember this name just from like fantasy baseball, but the Houston Astros had all these guys coming up, and it might have been like right around Bregman, Altuve, or even a little bit before that. And I think it was John Singleton.
Okay, yeah, the big hitter. The first baseman, yeah.
Like they offered all these guys contracts, none of them signed him, and then this guy did, and then like sucked. And it was like, I don't know, like I get wanting the money early on, but if you're patient and you really believe in your own abilities, you're going to get like twice the money if you wait.
Well, and now that you say that, as you're talking it out, I do remember Crochet saying a week or two ago, like, yeah, I don't want to rush into a deal. I want to prove what I am.
Like Tristan Casas last year, it made no real sense for him to sign that deal. I think Bayo and Raffaello were like, all right, this is a lot of money. Like, let's do this, at least guarantee it. Everybody's a little bit different too, right? Like, some people fixate it all the time, and that's not going to help you play if all you're doing is worried about your contract. But a guy like Casas is saying, I haven't even really had a full great year yet. If I do the 41-20 thing that Breslow's calling for, like, think about how much more money I could make.
So I maintain that's the kind of stuff that's going to get in the way of the Red Sox this year. It's not their talent. I think their talent's pretty good. Yankees took another hit over the weekend. You know, Giancarlo Stanton not going to start on time for the Yankees this year. He's going to start the year on IL. So I do think the division's wide open. I think the league is wide open. That doesn't mean the Red Sox will walk through the door, but talent-wise, I think they're in the mix with all those teams, maybe even a cut above some of those teams. In the division, it's them and the Yankees and everybody else, to me. I think they're above Baltimore and Toronto and Tampa. But the stuff like this is what's going to get in the way. Crochet's extension talks, so those get messy. Tristan Casas, just the whole Casas experience.
Oh, yeah.
Is that a disaster
well,
in any way, shape, or form?
Cora comes into play.
Devers, Bregman, who's at third? Who's at second? Who's lining up where? Is Campbell a second baseman or a left fielder? I'd put that lower on the list. But all that stuff. And you're right. Alex Cora in the middle of it. We talked about this last week, Keith, late in the week. The Red Sox have, for the first time in years, pressure on them to go actually get it done, make the playoffs, win 90 games or whatever, 95 games, make the postseason go on. There's actual pressure to do this for the first time in a while. And so there are players with pressure on them, but Alex Cora, I think, is above all of that. It's going to be on Cora, who just got paid himself last year. It's going to be on him to sort all this out, and we'll see if he can juggle all the various personalities and situations they're dealing with this year.
100%. And it started early. It started before they even took the field with all these guys. I was looking up Bet Online. They sent us some of their odds, like for pitcher odds for the season. I told you how Crochet, I think, was second in the AL Cy Young.
Yeah. Went Scooble and then him.
They have the MLB 2025 strikeout leader.
Okay.
So who will have the most strikeouts next season? Do you want to guess who's first, and you want to guess where Crochet ranks?
Crochet is first.
He is third.
Okay.
He's tied for third.
Oh.
Paul Skeens is one.
That makes sense. Then is Sale on the list?
No, yeah, he is.
Okay.
Tarek Skubal second, and then Garrett Crochet and Dylan Cease are tied for the third best odds to lead the majors in strikeouts.
Yeah, so people expect a big year out of him.
A monster year.
And if he goes out and has a big year, you're going to have to pay him.
Do you think he hits 200 innings?
No.
Okay.
I don't. I mean, do you?
I think it's
dangerous. That's like a pitcher thing. That's dangerous to wager on any pitcher in today's league for 200 innings. He's never come close to doing it.
He did have 200 strikeouts last year, like 150 innings.
I was going to say, the strikeouts, he'll have 200 Ks.
He'll get the Ks. Yeah.
But will he throw 200 innings?
Do you think he will?
No. And I think it'll...
I think it's a bad bet to say he will. Like, maybe he will. I think it's a bad bet.
So if you throw 33 times and you throw six innings a start, that's 198. So you have to go deeper than six innings, or you certainly can't miss any starts. So do you think it'll be more like them managing him, like taking him out of the fifth inning, or do you think it's more likely that he's just like on the shelf for a couple weeks?
Given his track record, he's on the shelf for a couple of weeks. So I hate to say it, but I mean that's what it's been.
I know.
From the second the guy stepped into the bigs. 617-779-7937. More of your thoughts there. We touched on the Red Sox, Celtics, Bruins, and of course Patriots today on Jones and Keefe. We also gave you four different options to vote at Jones and Keefe on Twitter and Instagram. I'm seeing the question right now on the text line. Where can I vote? How do I vote? You go to Jones and Keefe. You can vote on four topics for our Jones and Keefe bracket. We'll unveil the winner tomorrow. We'll get into the bracket beginning on Wednesday, so stay tuned for that. You can also stay tuned for WEEI Afternoons. They come your way at 2 o'clock. Hart and Fitzy today. We'll get you the clip du jour. And right after Trending with Billy Lanny, it's time for Grab Bag.
The hues fill my heart with the sound of me.
Grab Bag.
Take me out to the ball game.
What are you doing?
Did you know DirecTV has the most MLB games?
So you're singing.
Yeah, they put your favorite teams front and center right when you turn it on. Buy me some cold cuts and flapper jacks.
Those aren't even the words.
I'm allergic to peanuts.
Stream DirecTV, home of the most MLB games. Visit DirecTV.com. Claim based on total games offered on national and regional sports networks. RSNs available with choice package or higher. Availability of RSNs varies by zip code and package.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
What's up, NBA fans? It's Danny Green here. For those who want an inside look at the league through the eyes of a three-time champion, check out my podcast, Inside the Green Room. New episodes drop every week. Be sure to subscribe to Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's time for Grab Bag here on Jones and Keefe, WEEI. Stuff we couldn't get to the first 3.5 hours of the program, and there is a lot of stuff in here, including Matthew Tkachuk placed on IR with a groin injury. Of course, Tkachuk has missed 4 straight games since the Four Nations, so I'm sure the Florida Panthers love the Four Nations faceoff.
I got to tell you, all the hockey hardos that were all like just over the moon after the first USA-Canada game where there were, you know, 3 fights in 9 seconds. It's like, what a tournament. And, oh, yeah. My, the NBA could never. And this is what makes hockey great and makes the NBA terrible. I'm thinking of TC. I mean, he was right about the tournament in general. But that level of commentary.
Yeah.
And now you have McAvoy out. You have is Brady Tkachuk back in the lineup? I thought he was out, too.
He's missed at least a game or two. I don't know if he's back now, but so he definitely missed some time.
I mean, yeah. The price some of these teams have to pay. And, yeah, and in the case... In a case of the Bruins, like, who really cares? They weren't going anywhere anyway.
Didn't
Florida,
matter.
Though, that matters.
Sure
that
is.
Big time matters. You know, Vegas has been dealt a blow because of this tournament. So,
that's
like,
right.
That's the other side of the coin. And that's why teams don't typically go all out in all-star games. That's why.
What's your favorite grab bag?
I don't know.
You have to have a favorite. What comes to mind?
Jimmy Butler, who, of course, is with the Golden State Warriors. I think they're 7-1 in games that he doesn't poop himself. 0-1 in games. In which he does.
I hadn't been Rich Keefe Stats and Info is still tracking that. Good. I had lost track of that.
I believe 7-1 nice. If he clean shorts, 0-1 if it's not. But that's not the story. It's not on the court with Jimmy Butler Jones. He has been sued for unpaid rent and damages to the property in South Beach that he had.
Oh, no.
I believe he's being sued for $260,000 in unpaid rent and $127,500 worth of damages.
So what does this mean? Like
it means he's getting sued.
Okay, but like, does this mean his place in Miami that he left, now he like just left it a crap hole? Or is this like Antonio Brown level, like people are, creditors and debtors are like seeking out Jimmy Butler? Like what does that mean?
Here's the story. It says Jimmy Butler's been sued for allegedly failing to pay $260,000 in rent and leaving behind more than $127,000 in damages related to a luxury home that he leased in Miami Beach.
Okay, so he probably, when he went to Golden State, he probably was just like, whatever, I'm leaving this thing a crap hole and I'm not paying for it.
So in the suit, the plaintiff contends Butler failed to pay 2 months of rent at $130,000 per month for the property.
Nice, in this economy, that's a good,
that's
a good get.
Realtor.com says the contemporary style, 5,398-foot square foot home built in 2016 has 5 bedrooms, 6 bathrooms.
Huh.
The home was built on a canal, also has a pool. The website says it's about a $10 million home. So the lawsuit also alleges that Butler changed the locks and would not give a key to the property owner, keeping maintenance workers from entering the home. Butler's also alleged to have failed to maintain the swimming pool and air conditioning.
Oh, boy.
The latter leading to extensive mold that required the replacement of ceilings and floors
on
the property.
It legit sounds again, not to compare this guy to the other guy, but this is Antonio Brown-esque is what it sounds like.
It does sound a little
that's
like
not that. That's not great at all.
Not a great guy to be compared to.
No.
Grab bags.
Cowboys are set to franchise tag defensive tackle Osa Odigizuwa. Not even close.
Big D tackle. Big Hoss.
Was Odigizuwa, I thought is what it was.
Odigizuwa.
I'm not totally sure, to be honest.
Apologies. What if I told you could be our Hoss of the Week?
No, I'm not yet.
It's too early.
Wait till he gets tagged.
But they said they're going to franchise tag him or hopefully get a long-term deal done with him by tomorrow. But that's another guy. Okay. We brought him up earlier. There's a list of top free agents, and five of the top 10 guys are either going to get franchised by their team or maybe just immediately re-signed. So the list is way worse than it even looks.
So this would be my takeaway with that news as well, because that feels like a poor decision to franchise a player. I don't pretend to know a lot about him. That one was not on my bingo card.
Come on.
But the idea that a lot of these players that were going to be top-of-the-market free agents are getting snapped up and staying with their own teams should be scary for the Patriots. I just started going through Phil Perry, his latest NBC Sports boss. He's got a lot of combine buzz in there.
Mm-hmm.
He talked to one AFC general manager. He says the Patriots have money to spend, but who's out there for them to spend it on? And that would be the takeaway with tags and signings like this.
You've been hit by a smooth
grab bag.
Darius Slay released by the Philadelphia Eagles. Think Slay's got something left in the tank?
No. Okay. I mean, look, I haven't loved him as a player for a few years now, but I mean, he was out there in the Super Bowl a year ago. He got passed by some of the younger players on Philadelphia.
Didn't they also release him last year and then immediately sign him again?
Yeah, maybe. There might be something to that. Yeah. That might be true. So it's probably more about his cap number than his ability to play. I mean, should the Patriots have any interest there? Number two corner across from Gonzalez.
Yeah.
I mean,
at this point, I'd have interest in just about everybody.
I don't know. I really don't know what he has left in the tank. But if you're telling me it's something, you could throw some money at him. I'd be skeptical there's a lot there, though.
Grab bag.
The Twitch chat's on this one, too. Jimmy Johnson retiring from Fox. He had a very cryptic thing at the end of the season where you're like, what is he doing? Is he retiring right now?
Yeah, they were like AI reliving his career from like his playing days at Arkansas through like all of his coaching at Miami. And he was all teary-eyed on set. And so you knew something had to be up. But okay, Jimmy Johnson's out at Fox.
Mm.
I love that. I still think that's the best pregame show in the NFL.
I've always liked Jimmy Johnson.
Yeah.
And I hated the Cowboys, but I always liked Jimmy Johnson.
Bradshaw has aged significantly.
True.
And so maybe that shows a need for...
He's like the Lee Corso of the Fox set.
He's not quite there yet, but he's not far. That show's been in need of a facelift, but like I wonder who they're going to replace him with. More Gronk?
Sean McVay.
Maybe. Like, more Gronk doesn't seem like the answer to me.
I would do less Gronk.
Yeah.
If you could.
I have a structured settlement and I need cash now.
Call J.G. Wentworth, 877.
Grab bag.
Paul Skeens, who we mentioned earlier, he's the favorite to have the most strikeouts this year. Well, I think we know the reason why. This weekend he made his spring debut. He added two pitches.
He's got pitches?
A cutter and a two-seamer, which he didn't have before.
Nice.
What do you think of that? You in on that?
I'm definitely in on that.
The wonder of the grab bag. Take a chance, make it grab bag. Pop a cork, fingers grab bag. Spin the wheel, round and round grab bag. Life is grab, life is bag. Grab bag yourself a front grab bag. Let's meet and have a grab bag. Yeah, let's live for the wonder of the grab bag.
Baseball Commissioner Rob Manfred is considering reinstating Pete Rose.
Oh,
which
wow.
is great. Just in time, because he's definitely not dead.
This is out. You see Trump over the weekend? You see his line?
Yeah, he's going to pardon him? What's he going to do?
Trump is going to pardon him, which gets into much more sketchy territory, given some of the things Pete Rose has been accused of.
Bad guy.
Bad guy.
And I don't even care about the gambling.
Not a great guy. Probably should be in the Hall of Fame, in my estimation.
Hit king?
Yeah.
You got the hit king in?
I would have the guy with the most hits in the history of the sport in the Hall of Fame. That's just
me. I'm a small hall guy.
The line. Say what you want about the guy, but this is hilarious. Baseball, which is dying all over the place, should get off its fat, lazy ass and elect Pete Rose into the Baseball Hall of Fame.
Was that really? That was the quote?
That was Truth Social.
Oh, that was on. So you're on there, I know.
Yeah, I'm a big Truth Social guy. Yeah, get off their fat, lazy ass, because baseball is dying everywhere. Get him in the Hall of Fame, and he's going to pardon him on top of it.
Okay, yeah, I guess hard to argue with.
Lieutenant Dan was always getting these funny feelings about a rock or a trail or the road, so he'd tell us to get down, shut up.
Get it down!
Grab bag.
So we did.
There's a lot more where that came from.
That's not one of the more quotable lines in the movie.
Every line of dialogue has been submitted to
it
us.
It actually might be enough for its own region in the bracket.
Oh, easily. We have to play in
games. If we were going to do it, right, so we have Bregman nicknames, that would be one idea, and then we would also have just Forrest Gump grab bag stickers.
Some years later, that nice young man from England was on his way home to see his little boy and was signing some autographs for no particular reason at all.
Grab bag.
Didn't Elliot Wolf quote that yesterday at the combine?
I pretty much nailed it, yeah.
Ma'am. What'd they do with Lieutenant
Bradbeck?
I don't know. I got a lot of them sent in.
That one's more recognizable. I would say that's a more recognizable line, yeah.
It's March, Jones. That means we should talk some college basketball. St. John's, led by the one and only Rick Pitino, has won the Big East regular season title for the first time since Chris Mullin was on the team in 1985.
Wow.
How about that?
I mean, look, speaking of say what you want about the guy, Pitino, dirtbag of a guy. Yeah. Celtics fans don't like him.
Right.
The guy can coach college hoops. I mean, he has St. John's. I know the Big East isn't what it used to be in the mid-'80s.
Right.
But he's got St. John's out of nowhere winning the Big East. Guy can coach.
Pretty good.
You best start believing in grab bag. You're in one.
It's Pirates of the Caribbean.
Oh, is that what that was?
Yeah.
I didn't realize that.
Is that Barbosa, I think?
Yeah.
It sounded it.
Yeah, Captain Barbosa. Must have been, yeah.
Sounded like Captain Barbosa. Yeah. So. Oh, I'm really excited. New TV show or return of a TV show. Daredevil. After years and years and years. This is one of my favorite shows
Netflix. This is on your list of the 10 shows to watch coming up.
Tomorrow. Yeah. It is available tomorrow night, 9 o'clock. I think it's a 2-episode premiere. It's called Daredevil Born Again. It's essentially season 4 of Daredevil, which is one of the great shows. Even if you're like out on comic book stuff, you're like, it's too much of it. That's fine. This show is different. Very, very violent. I can't wait for this. So I'm all over the show when it does come out.
Just give me all the
grab bag
you have. Wait. I worry what you just heard was give me a lot of
grab bag.
What I said was give me all the
grab bag
you have.
All right, top NBA performer from last night. We have a bunch of games in the mix. It's some really nice performances, Jones. How about Anthony Edwards? 44 points, 5 rebounds, 7 assists. Jalen Williams, 41-6-7. Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, 31-4-8. Denny Avija? Adia.
I think it's Avija.
I think it's Adia.
Okay.
His friends call him Turbo.
Nice.
For real.
Nice.
For a real nickname. 30-12-10.
Wow.
For the Portland Trailblazer. And Ty Jerome went for 25-5-6.
Put me down for Ant. They won. Yeah. It's a good game. It was him or Jalen Williams would be my choices, but I'll go with Anthony Edwards.
It's time for Jones and Keefe's
Random. Brandon Phillips.
Eduardo Nunez.
Curtis Luskanic.
Baseball player of the day.
Should have gone back to the combine, random combine guy of the day. We did one of those last week. It was a good idea. Didn't get it till late.
Right.
And that was a lot of fun, but we're right back to baseball.
Could have done one more, but we're not going to. You're saying it's baseball.
This is baseball.
Okay.
Yeah, combine rolls on, right?
Well.
Could have done that today.
It wrapped up.
I got ourselves a ball player here today, though. He'd play you some second, he'd play you some third, and he'd play you some short.
Oh.
So kind of a jack of all infield trades, as it were. He played for several teams over his 13-year career. The White Sox, the Braves, the Royals, the Brewers, the Devil Rays, the Red Sox, and the Indians.
There's a lot of talk about Tony Graffinino. Is it Tony Graffinino?
He got it!
Wow! How did you know that?
That's one that's been discussed before. First of all, we brought him up. We brought up the name before. I don't think we've ever had Tony Graffinino.
No, that's a first time.
It's tough for names, guest, and actual answers.
I heard White Sox and Royals. Right. Once you said Red Sox, I'm like, I'm not sure he played there, but let me toss
Graffinino.
That out there. Tony Graffinino. How'd he do when he was here? I don't recall him here. Must have been late in his career.
He hit 319.
Wow.
Yeah, 51 games in 05 at 319. Sock four dingers. Zero-time All-Star.
He was here in 05?
Yeah.
That's like back when people still cared about the Red Sox.
Oh, yeah. I cared about Tony Graffin, you know?
I do not really remember that. Okay, interesting.
That was the team that lost to the White Sox, right?
Correct.
In the playoffs?
Yeah. Yeah. He chose wrong.
He did. Anyway, congrats to Tony Graffinino taking home that prize.
Nice work.
Yeah.
Did he wear number 44? Does it coincide with Billy's 44th birthday?
He wore a lot of numbers, but 44 14, was not
11,
one of them.
26, yeah. 47, 17, 14, yeah. Okay.
How much money did Tony Graffinino make before taxes in his major league career?
Couldn't have been much.
No, it wasn't.
10.
I mean, huh?
10?
Nailed it.
Really?
Yeah, 10 million
Look
bucks.
Look at me and my Tony Graffinino knowledge.
10 million bucks.
How about that?
Over a billion, 200,
nope.
a trillion,
nope,
200
right.
billion dollars.
Less, way less.
That is not accurate whatsoever.
He was signed as a free agent by the Red Sox. Then he was traded by the Royals to the Brewers for Jorge De La Rosa. Small world, huh?
Yeah, good trade. In your face, Twitch chat and text line. I got that one pretty quick. I know we've talked about him before. He's never been Well, you never know with these things, but I don't think he'd ever been a random baseball player.
I don't think so.
In the grab bag. Yeah.
I was looking for a fellow birthday boy like our guy Lanny, but I couldn't find like a good one that celebrates.
Oh, you were looking for
tonight.
Someone with the birthday.
Yeah, he does not, like Jason Tatum does. I was looking for somebody, but there was nobody good that was a birthday boy.
Who's your favorite 44, Billy? You've heard a lot of those submissions today. Who's your favorite 44 in honor of your 44th birthday?
Hank Aaron's the easiest one.
Yeah, good one.
Hammer
and
Hank.
You knew Jason Bay right away. That was one ready to go with
Jason Bay.
Oh, right, because you replaced Manny.
Correct.
Yep. That's tough.
Replaced all personality with no personality.
Yeah, no, that's
zero.
Accurate.
Jason
Bay
looked like an iRobot.
Yeah, bring in a Canadian, you're in trouble.
He also had a home
Unless
run
they're
derby.
Booing an anthem, they don't really do much.
Remember he had zero home runs in a home run derby once?
Yeah.
It's like, no, Jason, hit him over the fence.
So there you go. That's, number one, Billy Lanny's 44th. You can send along all your birthday wishes.
Please
617-779-7937. And random baseball player of the day each and every day in the grab bag here on Jones and Keefe. You can still vote. Four topics up now at Jones and Keefe in our March Madness bracket. We will announce the winner tomorrow, and then we'll start the bracket on Wednesday. Vote at Jones and Keefe. And you can stay tuned for WEEI Afternoons. We'll see what Hart and Fitzy have coming up, plus our clip du jour next.
Back here on Jones and Keefe, WEEI, time now for our clip du jour. Jones, you ready for that?
Oh, that sounds fantastic. What's clip du jour again?
Well, I'm glad you asked. It's the clip of the day. And today we began our mock draft Mondays as we are going to be doing those up and through the draft. The NFL draft begins 52 days, 5 hours, 10 minutes, and 53 seconds from right now. And we thought we
50
would...
seconds, 49, yeah. Yeah. 48 seconds.
Thought we would kick things off with our in-house draft expert, Chris Scheim. You can hear him on the mornings, and you can see his entire mock draft on WEEI.com. And he had the Patriots making a trade out from 4 down to 7. So here's some of Chris Scheim's appearance on with us earlier today.
And then the Patriots move down to 7 and take T-Mac, Tet McMillan, wide receiver out of Arizona. Why the move there, Scheim, to trade back and take McMillan at 7?
So I think... In this world, right, I think that moving down and allowing another team to come up for the quarterback is the right move. The guy they want is either going to be an offensive lineman or T-Mac at this point. If both Abdul Carter and Travis Hunter are off the board, that's the direction you kind of have to go. Those are your two biggest needs. They're also probably two of the better players on the board. But in this case, I think they need to draft for need. And Tet McMillan gives you that. He gives you that big, strong X receiver. He's got tremendous hands. He will pluck it from anywhere. And I think he's faster than people give him credit for. I'm kind of bummed you didn't get to see him run his 40 at the combine, but we will get to see it at his pro day. And if he's anywhere in the 4.5s or below, he's golden. Like, that's it.
Tet McMillan, neither you nor I would be happy with that.
Not crazy about it.
No, I don't love him overall. 7 does seem kind of high. I know he's being projected as, depending on how people view Travis Hunter, one of the three best receivers coming out of the draft. But I just, as much as I love receivers, I want one of these established guys.
How do you feel about Scheim's idea of a trade down in general? You'd move from 4 to 7. You'd pick up an extra 4th this year and a future 2nd.
I actually don't hate that. So my priority is Travis Hunter or Abdul Carter. If they're both off the board, I want to try to trade that pick for someone like Myles Garrett. And if I can't do that, I think I would move down best toss available. Scheim seems to think there could be 3 left tackles that start right off the rip. So if you get one of those guys and extra picks, I'd be pretty satisfied with that. If they stay on the board and try to take one of those guys or take Mason Graham or take Tet McMillan, I'd be that would maybe be the worst case scenario for me.
Yeah, and the way it sets up in Shime's mock draft, and you can check that out, weei.com, mock draft 2.0 from Chris Shime, our first mock draft Monday.
Great stuff.
Of many leading up to the draft. But it is kind of a nightmare scenario for the Patriots. It's Travis Hunter and Abdul Carter both off the board. You can trade back because a team like the Jets, in his scenario, are moving up to go get Shedeur Sanders. But a lot of guys you see mocked to the Patriots, like I'd say at least entering the combine, the two names you saw most at four were Will Campbell or Mason Graham. They both had bad combines.
Yeah.
They both measured poorly. Graham's was more of a weigh-in, under 300 pounds. And Will Campbell had the short arms and the short wingspan. And, like, those are guys they had been linked to quite a bit. It underscores the same thing we were talking about before. Yeah, you have the fourth pick. Who's going to be there when you draft at four? Yeah, you have a ton of cap space.
Yeah.
Who are you going to spend it on?
So I'm still really hopeful that two quarterbacks will be gone in the top three. You know, one of the reasons why Shime was saying that he has the Giants taking Travis Hunter at three is because of the rumors of Aaron Rodgers to the Giants, or like a veteran quarterback to the Giants.
And they were heavily linked to Stafford before Stafford went back to the Rams.
So, I mean, do you keep Brian Daboll, and which is a little bit of a surprise, and then, all right, you're going to grab one of these old quarterbacks, and then what? Like, where are the Giants? Aren't the Giants really far away? I feel like they'd be better off getting him his next project that's somebody better than Daniel Jones, and try to work with that guy, like a Shedeur Sanders or a Cam Ward. Because if that happens, then I'd be thrilled. And we've talked about this a lot. If you get Hunter or Carter, you're in good shape. I just feel like the closer we get to the draft, got a month and a half to go, who knows? It could be quarterbacks 1, 2, and 3, for God's sakes. Like, somebody could go flying up the board. Like, that happens every year.
I still have a hard time seeing Tennessee passing on a quarterback.
Yeah.
If they're there,
yeah,
meaning Cam Ward and Shedeur Sanders, and they even halfway like them, I have a hard time seeing Tennessee.
But also, couldn't like the Raiders or the Jets try to trade up with one of those teams? So
absolutely,
the three teams ahead of the Patriots all need a quarterback, but there's also teams below the Patriots that would want to leapfrog up there and block somebody else.
Time now for the crossover. WEEI Afternoons, brought to you by the 99 Restaurant. If you're looking for great value for lunch, you can visit the Nines for their new daytime deals menu, available Monday through Saturday until 5 p.m. You can try the Vermont Cheddar Chicken Sandwich, flatbread combos, and six new hearty sandwiches. You gotta love the Nines. What's coming up on the show today, Andy?
Recapping sneaky big weekend in sports.
Huge.
A lot going on.
Elimination Chamber.
John Cena.
Yeah.
Heel.
Very interesting.
Yep.
Very, very interesting. We'll actually use that as a jumping off point.
Hell yeah.
Talk about what, because that obviously shocking heel turn.
Uh-huh.
No one really saw it coming. Career as a good guy. Who would be the most shocking heel turns in professional sports? Scandalous type things. You know who I think?
Oh, jeez.
We had one recently.
I think Tiger? You mean like that level of
like
heel
Tiger,
turn?
Like Tiger, yeah. That type of person that you found out, drugs, women, something, something.
Wait, you're going to just sit here and predict who could
have? No, we're saying guys we would never expect it to happen to.
Oh.
So give me one. Right off top
I just
of your head.
Had one. Who was the? Tatum.
Okay.
Tatum, I think, is a squeaky clean.
I don't know about
that. We brought that up last week, like, of all the guys, and I even prefaced it by saying we don't really know anybody.
True.
But, like, of all the people that if you saw, like, a scandalous headline about, I think Tatum would surprise
me
most.
That would be surprising.
Like, we had one recently. I feel like Justin Tucker, like, he was an opera singer, he's a great kicker, and you're like, wait, he was doing the same thing Watson was? Because Watson was also...
Watson was a man of the year candidate
until he became the biggest sleazeball in all of sports.
Yeah.
So sort of those guys that would just
OJ Simpson.
Stun you.
Yeah.
Sure.
Okay.
Marchand, so, quite a heel turn on Keith.
He did a heel turn on
Keith. Yes.
Like, that might still be face.
That doesn't surprise me either.
That might be still a face.
It surprised me.
If Marchand was a wrestler, he would be heel face, back and forth like 10 times.
That's sure. True.
So we'll have that during the show. We'll obviously recap. That Friday night game for the Celtics was as enjoyable a loss as you'll ever see. That was a lot of fun.
Mm-hmm.
Not great, but a lot of fun. I mean, when you blow a
hot start
25-3 lead, it's interesting. And I was sitting there having a few beers with my son and his friends, and
nice.
I'm like,
I
guarantee
slamming beers now.
No,
already?
Me, I was having the beers.
I see.
And I was like, this game's gonna be tied at some point. I should have gone into my app.
Oh, you
should have the Cavs.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, you would have. Oh,
probably
what were the live odds.
That's
at that
what
point,
I mean. I would have done really well, but I had already hit on JB first basket, so I was already like fat and happy.
Oh yeah, sit that out. Once you went on those,
great.
You don't want to chase
it. No, I feel like I should have kept going. I had a hot hand. Heat check. Take the Cavs. So we'll get into that. Combine. Obviously, we'll get into the Doug Kide, Andrew Callahan. Great story.
Yep.
I have a quick question for you.
Yeah.
We love that kind of story with information, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
If that were Gerard Mayo, wouldn't we say, like, loose lips sink ships? Why does the Herald know the entire Patriots offseason plan? Like, we eat it up. Why is there so much information out there? So we'll delve into that as well as those details.
All right.
Which I thought most shocking was Mayo's never going to coach again. You're giving up after that.
Guy's done. Yeah.
Listen, he gets what's going on.
I mean, you weren't ready, but you're still 39 years old. Go to college, go to a position, work your way back up.
But you got to going back really to work your way up. No, but like, he wouldn't get a head coaching job anywhere. He wouldn't get a coordinator job anywhere.
Oh, I think he could get a coordinator job.
Oh, you do?
That's what happened to Raheem Morris, I believe. Raheem Morris skipped coordinator, was a terrible coach with the Bucks, then got coordinator. Then when he goes to the Rams, everybody's like, this guy's the greatest coach in the world. Right. Now he's a head coach again. Or go to college. I wouldn't call Bill.
I don't think Bill's answering that phone.
No.
But
call Brett
Bielema. Go to Duke.
Brett Bielema, Illinois. Oh, go to Duke.
Big rival.
Love it.
Oh, I see what you're doing over there. Yeah, nice.
We just went back wrestling again.
Yeah. I like it. Okay, so a variety of topics on WEEI Afternoons. Yep. You can dial them up. 617-779-7937. You got Hart. You got Fitzy. And we'll be back tomorrow at 10 a.m. Some results from the Jones and Keefe bracket. We'll also get to Tommy Tuesday, a Tier Tuesday, Kiefer Madness as well. We'll talk to you then on WEEI.
Thank you, guys. That was fun.